This May the 10th Picks edition of the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Best Ball Mania is live with $15 million in prizes. Sign up with our promo code MLBSGPN to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Underdogfantasy.com, promo code MLBSGPN. We're also brought to you by Royal Retros. Royal Retros has jerseys, t-shirts, hats, jackets and sweatshirts from all the old school teams that you love. Use promo code SGPN for 10% off your order today. That's code SGPN at royalretros.com. Welcome everybody to the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford, coming to you from Newcastle upon Tyne in the northeast of England. Today is Thursday, May the 9th, and we are here to have a look at a full slate, new series starting over MLB on Friday, May the 10th. Joining me from somewhere in New York, it's Mr. Dylan Rockford. D Rock, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Malcolm. How are you doing? We got there yesterday with Dormant, 1-0.
Wait, the European week's just finished literally about 90 seconds ago, and my luck has been so bad. Wow. Like, I would have said, just about in every game, I've been sitting pretty until Fiorentina, 85th minute penalty. I took Dortmund to qualify last night, 87th minute, no problem. Tonight, Leverkusen scored a goal. Defender scored an own goal with his face in the last minute to cost me an under 2-0. Absolutely, if it could have got, and I don't mind losing. I'm very used to losing, Dylan. I've made a career of it. But fuck me, there's a way to do it, and it's absolutely killed me. Like, it's the hope that kills you. And I've been in front. I probably could have cashed out for profit on every single game, and I ended up going 1-5. Sorry, on the week. Don't talk to me about football. I'm not buying it, Dylan.
You have those type of days, though, that you could just bank on it, the next following days are going to be good for you. So I got you.
Yeah, well, when we did the show on Monday night, myself and Scott, and we had a nice little fight back, actually. Moonaf must have cottoned on to giving us the easy shift, Dylan, because we weren't given the Wednesday. The seven-game Wednesday card last night. But we smashed that last week. I think we went 5-1, having swept the week before. And I was having a really nice little fight back until last night. Last night hit a bit of a wall. So I bet the Reds today in Eli De La Cruz didn't do me any favours by running into a... He ran into the first out at third base. I mean, he walks, steals second, which is great, and then tries to steal third, gets picked off stealing third. Leave it out, Ellie. It was just horrible. We'll keep ploughing along. What's the weather been like, Dylan, today in New York City? Have you been in the city?
Oh, yeah, I've been in the scum of things in the boogie down Bronx today. It's been hot, actually. It was supposed to be about around 80, 85, but it's cooled down. It's around 67, 68, but still nice. Fahrenheit.
Yeah, because I messaged you at lunchtime today, which was breakfast time for you. And it was really nice and sunny in Newcastle today. And I think because the weather's been so... it was about 22 degrees, so I don't know what does that
translate 22 as? Celsius to Fahrenheit. Oh, 72. That's nice.
Yeah, that was nice. But yeah, we haven't seen the sun for about 7 months, so all the boys and girls of Newcastle just all took all their clothes off. So I messaged you this morning. I think people just were so happy to see the sun. It was a very sexy day in Newcastle today, Dylan, which I think made you vomit a little bit over breakfast when I told you that.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's been nice. I sat in the conservatory this evening, Dylan, and watched the Reds and the Diamondbacks, looking at my little flowers growing out the back. So it was very nice. It was the first kind of summer baseball night I felt like tonight. That was fun.
Real quick, yes. Geography question. How far are you relative to Glasgow, Scotland?
it's not very far in miles, but it's just it's kind of cross country, so I could get there in maybe 2.5 hours.
Oh, not bad.
It's about 110, which for me is a long way. But that's the sort of trip you would make just to say hello to a neighbour. I've had this conversation with Moonaf before. Like, if we were going to Glasgow, we'd have to plan it for 6 months. But Americans would just go and visit a neighbour 110 miles away, have a cup of tea and come back.
Yeah, the same day.
Definite different scales. But yeah, I'm only sort of 40 or 50 miles from the Scottish border, but I'm on the East Coast. Glasgow is on the West Coast. So it is clear across country, but it's still not very far. Why? Right. What do you want to know?
No, I just wanted to the WWE. They're having a pay per view in June over there in Scotland. I was like, I got a mate over there. I'll see how far it is.
Yeah, it's not very far at all, mate. Glasgow is a world of fun, Dylan. You'd have a great time. You get very belligerent in Glasgow.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely. Let's go.
All right then. So, new series starting on Friday night, full slate of games. We've got about 13 of them on the board, I think. And we've got a couple of suspected IL activation pitchers, which always muddies the waters. And we've got a Texas pitcher who's gone to the IL, who was scheduled to start. But we can make cases for nearly all of these. I need one more run in this Giants-Rockies game, over 9.5. Rockies lead 8-1. Two on, two out, top of the eight.
Did you watch Logan Gilbert today? He was awful. Oh my God, the Twins shelled him today.
I saw they had a 5-run first inning. And that was about as far as I got with it, I think.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was bad. Well, just as we started, Trev, TVDBJ was straight in the chat saying it's an auto ladder up to 10 strikeouts on whoever the Mariners. It was Pablo Lopez today, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Which is obviously their premium pitcher, but there you go. So, yeah, Trev's full of beans and suggestions in the chat. It's like a one-man show in there at the minute.
Yeah.
keep it up, Trev. I'm all for it. Right, okay. The ad reads are asking me to do a promo for the MLB Gambling Podcast, so we'll not do that because you're obviously already listening. But we will tell you about Underdog Fantasy, our sponsor, making the NBA playoffs a whole lot more interesting. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Play the pick 'em game. It's the simplest selection, higher or lower, on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and plenty more. Make entries of all basketball or mix and match across your favourite sports. Win up to 100 times your money, and it's a ton of fun. Underdog is available in 30 or more states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. They just launched Champions as well in Florida, which is a player versus player format. So loads of fun there. Sign up with the promo code MLBSGPN to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Underdogfantasy.com, promo code MLBSGPN. Last night, Dylan, don't tell anyone, but I broadcast the Premier League show on the MLB feed by mistake.
Oh, no, we know. We know. I commented on it while me and Moonoff were recording on the MLB page. I go, look at this guy. I go, he's recording on our thing. And I left a comment. I go, this fucking guy.
I've been in really good form with the fuck ups. I've been like, I haven't had one for ages. Like nearly, I would say a world record for me. And then I finished the show last night, went on Twitter to see what was going on. And sure enough, we broadcasted it on the MLB thing, but no one said anything to me. So I just thought I'd go under the radar, lie low for 24 hours. Turns out everybody knows about this.
Oh, that's such a mouth thing to do. I love it.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. They're far less frequent than they used to be, though. 6:40 Eastern first pitch, the Houston Astros at the Detroit Tigers. Left-handed pitcher, Framber Valdez, going for Houston. And we have Casey Mize going for Detroit. It's -133 on the Astros, +105 Detroit, with a total of 8.5. Interesting start. The Astros really are still not showing very much. Still waiting for them to break out. They've got a game tonight against New York, Thursday night. And they've now lost 9 games in a row to the New York Yankees. Actually, the Monday night show, everybody wanted to take the Justin Verlander versus the Yankees angle, but I stood firm. And I was quite right to stand firm as New York absolutely shelled him. So, yeah, the Yankees, the Houston are in a right bit of a spot at the moment and have to travel to Detroit for this game tomorrow. Valdez has been much better. He gave up 2 homers against Seattle last time, which cost him. But he was going along okay before that. He's had a late start of the season, Valdez. Houston have lost 3 of his 4 games, not necessarily his fault. Mize had a... Mize is 1-1, 3.98 ERA. Did have a 4-game winning streak going before he gave up 5 earned runs in his last start against the Yankees. So both pitchers gave up 5 last time. But his 2 home starts have been okay, Mize. I trust Mize and I trust Valdez rather than both offences. I think the total seems really high. I don't know why we're getting 8.5 here. Detroit aren't a big scoring team and Houston are just scuffling. And behind a decent my start, I've got no issue with Valdez. 8.5 seems too high. So I will lead off with an under between the Houston Astros and the Detroit Tigers, Dylan.
Yeah, Mal, it's fitting that you went with a total. I feel like I got a lot of totals. I feel like last week you were the one with a lot of totals. Today, I'm going to be the one with the totals. Not this one, though. I did make the Tigers a -110 favorite. I do like Casey Mize. I think he's pitched well at home this season. Just 4 runs given up in 11 innings. Walks are down. Tigers have won both of his starts against at home against the Royals and Rangers. And, you know, this is going to be Valdez's first start on the road this season. But even at home, I don't think he has looked better, but he hasn't looked that much better, in my opinion. Only 1 solid start in early April. That was against the Blue Jays. The Astros don't play well on the road to begin with. They're struggling, like you mentioned, 9 in a row against the Yankees. And I feel like the Tigers have definitely regressed, but I do still favor them at home. They have the better bullpen. I think Mize is the better pitcher here. And they hit lefties much better than they do righties. So as long as we're getting -110 or better, which we are, I see +115 over at Caesars. So if you have Caesars in your state, +115, I'll take the home dog to start off.
Yeah, that would have been my lean as well, but I did prefer the total there. Next up is a game that is off the board. I'm not really sure why. I've seen pitches. Well, they're both actually officially TBD, but my pitching matchup has stayed steady all day. 6:40 Eastern first pitch between the Cubs and the Pirates. Jameson Taillon, we believe, for the Cubbies, and Jarrett Jones, who's been an absolute star for the Pirates. But yeah, no lines for this one, Dylan. What can you tell me about this?
Yeah, my numbers made the Pirates a -125 favorite, mainly because of how good Jarrett Jones has been, like you mentioned, especially at home. 1.42 ERA, 24 strikeouts in 19 innings. Batters only hitting .162 off of him. I probably would look towards a K prop, if anything, in this one. Maybe a 6.5 or 7 Ks. I like that over for Jarrett Jones here. Cubs, they've been striking out at a high rate the past few games. Should be a lower scoring game. I made my total 7.7. Jameson Taillon, he's been lights out so far in his 4 starts. Cubs, they've won every start he's made. This is going to only be his second start on the road, but Pirates, they're really not a good hitting team. Bottom 5 in the league, so I would lean under if we could get it like an 8.5. But I would also look towards a K prop depending on what it opens up at for Jarrett Jones.
Yeah, I didn't have much more than a tentative under. Obviously, yeah, not having seen any lines on this, because I just the 2 pitches here. I was in on Taillon to start the season, drafted him in lots of places in fantasy. I thought he'd have a good year, and Jones has just come out of nowhere and been an absolute revelation. I don't know if the lads last night talked about Paul Skenes coming up for Pittsburgh here. Noah, formerly of this parish from the college experience, Noah's our sort of rookie prospect guy in his app, and he's a Pittsburgh guy as well, Noah. So he's absolutely raving about Skenes here. We're talking generational talent, a whole lot of noise about him. Apparently the secondary ticket market for Pittsburgh for that game on Saturday is going absolutely through the roof. But they add Skenes into this rotation. None of them are older than 28. Jared Jones, Skeens, Mitch Keller. Who else are we going off the top of my head? I can't think. But other
Martin Perez.
The other Pittsburgh rotation guy. So, and I think Pittsburgh need this because they are just scuffling along a little bit. They're not a bad team, but 17 and 21, I think Pittsburgh would probably hope to be over 500 and get themselves involved a little. But yeah, nothing much on this game at all. Like I say, if we're in, you mentioned an 8.5. I'd love to take an under if I see a total like that. But yeah, that was my initial lean on this one. 6:50 Eastern first pitch is the New York Yankees at the Tampa Bay Rays. It is Clark Schmidt for the Yankees. We have Taj Bradley, who makes his season debut for the Tampa Bay Rays here. The Yankees are -154. The Rays are +120. Total sitting at 8, I think, Dylan. Again, tricky this one with Bradley making his seasonal bow here.
Yeah, Taj Bradley, like you said, making his first start of the year. Both teams, I feel like they're playing good baseball. I know Yankees are getting smacked right now. First inning, Stroman's kind of getting lit up. But think Yankees have won 6 in a row, probably up into this game. But Rays, they've won 4 of their last 5 as well. Schmidt, for most of the part, has pitched well on the road. Only 3 runs given up one time, and that was his first start of the season. But to be honest, I don't really feel comfortable backing Taj Bradley in his first start, especially against one of the best lineups in baseball. I was telling Munoz yesterday, I was at the game the other night with my dad, and the lineup has really impressed me for the Yankees. 1 through 9 are all tough outs. Maybe it was just because it was against the Astros, but against Bradley making his first start, might not be the best spot for him. So I made the Yankees a -130 favorite. Anything under that, I would like the Yankees, but they're around a -150 right now. And as for the total, I made it around 8.1.
Yeah, I don't mind the under here. I mean,
yeah,
I'm just looking at Taj Bradley, and the reason he's been pressed into action is that Ryan Pepiot's gone to the IL. I hadn't seen that, so that was news to me. So give with one hand and take with the other. But Taj Bradley opened for really a bit of second season, bounced back. He came amid great fanfare. And he was all right. He showed bits and bobs, but he's had a pectoral issue. He pitched really well in 2 rehab starts at Durham, struck out 15, only allowed 1 earned run. And actually threw 94 pitches last Friday night. So he's going to be absolutely ready. So again, bit of a travel spot. Schmidt is fine. Tampa Bay went on that 5-game winning streak, but it still really didn't do much for me. I'm still not sure of them. I think the 8.5 is too high again here. I'm going to lean to another under. I think, but obviously Bradley will have to keep the Yankees quiet. Yankees lineup is really good. You're right, Dylan. Aaron Boone was waxing lyrical about Juan Soto again today. But then you go through Volpe, who's been absolutely outstanding, as well as the sort of big boppers that we know about. So, yeah, I think Bradley can go okay. And Schmidt's been fine against this slightly underwhelming Rays lineup. So I'll take the under 8.5 in the Yankees at the Rays. 7:05 Eastern first pitch is the Arizona Diamondbacks at the Baltimore Orioles. Brandon Fart for the D-backs and Cole Irvin, left-handed pitcher for Baltimore, who are -138 at home. Fart and the Diamondbacks +110. Total is another 8.5, Dylan.
Yeah, I winded up taking the Orioles on the money line, -132. I made them a -150 favorite. My one worry is that the D-backs do hit lefties well, 313 on the year. But I just feel like Cole Irving has been so good at home this season. He hasn't allowed a single run in his last 3 starts. He doesn't give up the long ball. Walks are down. He gives you good length, around 6 innings per start. I know the D-backs hit lefties well, and you know this should be a good matchup for them, but I just think the Orioles have a better lineup. They're much more aggressive at the plate, and against Brandon Fart, who's let up 2+ runs in 6 straight games, I think the Orioles could score about 4 to 5 runs in this spot. So at home, getting a good price, I'm going to take the Orioles here on Apple TV. Have you noticed, by the way, it's more and more games on a Friday night on Apple TV? It's not just one game. There's more and more now.
Yeah. I've noticed there's been at least 2 a couple of times. That really annoys me.
Oh, especially, it's the worst.
I pay my money for MLB TV, which should allow. I had all that issue last year when they wouldn't show me any playoff games, and I kicked off and they gave me half my money back. What a load of bollocks that was, by the way. Yeah. Ridiculous. So I vowed never to use them again, but then I have to, because what else are you going to do? I mean, I've got the dodgy stick going right now, so I can watch the Yankees. But yeah, the especially when I go to bed and it just annoys me anyway. Cole Irving, he's just like any other of these Baltimore pitchers that aren't the anyone who isn't Corbin Burns, they all just seem kind of interchangeable. They're all perfectly good. Dean Kramer, we've seen John Means have a little throw the other day. Kyle Bradish got in and out of various spots of trouble last night. So Irvin's been really good. He has been a bright spot for really effectively what was Baltimore's SP5 here. Brandon Vaught's all right, don't mind him. Hasn't quite hit the heights of his playoff stuff that he did last year. I watched Arizona tonight. They were all right. Very middling team, but not as good as Baltimore. This is just about a workable price. I had minus 138, so if you're giving me a minus 132, I'll keep it simple, and I'll take Baltimore on the money line, same as you, Dylan.
Mal, we're getting people in the chat. Just, we want cable. No more streaming. It's bad. You thought you had it bad. I get blacked out on MLB. I pay for it, and I still can't watch the Yankees or the Mets because they black out your local channels. So I can't even get all the games sometimes. You have to get cable.
Yeah, that would absolutely annoy me to death. Like, I see a lot of American people complaining about that. Is an absolute I kind of get it, because we have what they call it, it's the Saturday 3 o'clock blackout in this country, where they don't, where normally that's the traditional kickoff time, that's when the majority of games down the pyramid play, and none of those games are on TV, because what they say is the same as where you are, people won't go out and watch the games. And we, it's not just the Premier League, we have a whole pyramid going all the way down to level 7, 8, 9, 10 that people need to go out and spend their money at the turnstile, buy a coffee, have a pie, have a couple of pints. And that won't happen if you can sit in the house and watch Man City v Liverpool. But yeah, it is a little bit of an antiquated system, because basically everyone who wants to watch it is sitting watching it on a fire stick, the same as me. So it is a little bit of a madness. We're harking back to the old days, Dylan. That's what we want. I'll tell you who else is great for the old days. Royal Retros. Looking to prove that you know ball. Showcase your old school fandom with some old school gear from a classic team. Royal Retros has jerseys, t-shirts, hats, jackets, sweatshirts, and more from the vintage sports leagues and teams that make, that you know and love. The Dirty Bird, the Orange Crush, or the Sack Exchange all make for sick jerseys for real fans. Use a promo code SGPN for 10% off your order today. That's SGPN at royalretros.com to take 10% off today. Okay. 7:07 Eastern first pitch is the Minnesota Twins at the Toronto Blue Jays. We have Joe Ryan going for the Twins, and Yusei Kikuchi draws the start for the Blue Jays. Minus 110 each of two, actually. It is a match here with the total set at 8. I mean, Twins, hot. I mean, you fixed them, Dylan, didn't you? You put them on your no bet.
I know.
The very day you did that, they won 12 in a row.
You're welcome.
And every time I think, oh, here we go, they're starting to regress, every time they've sort of lost one, they then come back the next day and score a shit ton. And I've actually gone against them today. My pick is the Blue Jays. And then you see Minnesota put up 11 runs. And you think, really? What am I doing here? Joe Ryan, 1-2 with a 3.54 ERA. He's settled into a pattern, really. He's quite reliable, Ryan. Easy to handicap. 6 innings, 3 earned runs. But his schedule has been quite soft, I think. The White Sox, the Tigers, the Red Sox. And his road starts have been excellent. I'll give him that. Joe Ryan. Kikuchi, also consistent, 2-2, 2.72 ERA. He goes 6 innings every start. He did give up 4 earned to the Dodgers, But really, that's his only wobble. So he doesn't walk batters. He doesn't give up homers. This is a rare spot. I don't normally like the Blue Jays betting on him. They are one of my head case teams. But back at home here, they did get a win against Philly last night in the last game of the series. Vladdy, since everyone started picking on him, since April the 27th, he's hitting 357. So Vladdy might be able to be finding just a little bit of form. So, let's have a go at the Blue Jays here, -110.
Yeah, I took the Blue Jays as well, Mal. I got -112. If -110s are out there, I made them a -140 favorite at home. I know the Twins, they've been the hottest team in the league right now. They won again today, 9-1 in their last 10. They hit lefties well. Everything, you know, everything's leading to taking the Twins. But, you know, I just think this could be a good spot for Kikuchi and the Blue Jays. It's going to be a travel spot for the Twins. Hopefully the bats may be tired. And against Kikuchi, who I do think is better than Joe Ryan, that's the same thing I was looking at. I think he's kind of had a soft schedule up to date. His road performances are good. But I think, you know, I just like Kikuchi a little better. He hasn't been able to get the run support to get some of the wins. But hopefully the bats break out. I'm banking on that. I'm going to take the Blue Jays here and pick them.
Okay, team ride. On the Blue Jays, 7:10 Eastern first pitch. The Atlanta Braves at the New York Mets. Charlie Morton draws the start for Atlanta. Jose Quintana, left-handed pitcher, is on the hill for the Mets. I got the Mets at +125, Dylan. Have you got a better price than that?
+125 for the Mets. Let me see. I see +132 over on FanDuel.
Okay, we'll take a look at that. With the Braves at -163, totally sitting at 8. Charlie Morton's been really good in his last three starts. 4 earned runs, pitched 19 innings over that stretch. Atlanta haven't given him much run support, actually. Jose Quintana's numbers, he's 1-3 with a 5.20 ERA, which sounds a little bit grim, but it's really inflated by his last start, which was 8 outs in 8 earned runs at the Tampa Bay Rays. His two home starts have been really good, 17 and two-thirds, only 4 earned runs. He did see the Braves on April the 11th, pitched 5 1/3, gave up 3 earned runs on 5 hits. I thought the Mets would be a decent price here. And Atlanta, they're only one game over 500 on the road. Marcelo Ozuna is pretty much single-handedly covering a lot of flat spots in this Atlanta lineup. So I think the Mets can give them a game here, Dylan. I'm going to take your New York Mets, +132.
I love it. As much as I do want to take a flyer here with the Mets, I only made the Braves a -130 favorite here on the road, so I do favor the Mets. They've already beat Uncle Charlie this season in Atlanta, where he has pitched better. Now on the road, where he gives up harder contact, more runs. I agree. I think this could be a bad spot for him. Quintana has been bad, but I think it's been inflated because of that one bad start. But at home, he's been solid. I like the over. I got a 7.5. Even at 8, I like the over. I made my total 8.8. Like I said, Morton has struggled on the road. He's already lost to this Mets team. And Quintana, he just got done giving up 8 runs and 2 innings in his last start. And the last series between these two teams, every game went over. The lowest total of the series was 11 runs. The highest total was 20 runs. So I think we're going to see a lot of runs in this series. Give me the over. But I agree. I think the Mets are alive.
The Rockies managed to squeak one run across in the bottom of the 8th, won that game 9-1. So the over 10.5 cashes. Bosch, delighted with that. TBDBJ saying he's got a friend with a 200-1 MVP ticket on Ozuna. Get in, love stuff like that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he's been really, really, really good. 7:10 Eastern first pitch. The Washington Nationals at the Boston Red Sox. Left-handed pitcher Patrick Corbin for the Nationals. Tanner Houck will go for the Red Sox. -138 at home, Boston. Even money for Washington with a total of 9. Myself and Scott took Washington at +175 against Corbin Burns on Monday night and did the job, 3-0 win. Not as straightforward here, I don't think. Corbin, he's only got one decent start in his last 5, which was against the Dodgers. But recently, he's been got at by Miami, the San Francisco Giants, the Blue Jays. In career, he's got an 8.22 ERA at Fenway Park. How is 3-3? 1.99 ERA. With a 1.99 ERA, you'd hope your record was better than 3-3 for a start. You'd not be thrilled with your teammates at that. He's been a high spot for Boston. You're getting good length out of him. There's a win-loss pattern in his record, which means he's due a win. This is the kind of game Washington are live. I thought was really tricky. But I'm happy to take the under here. I think Corbin can hold Boston. I'm giving Corbin, I'm putting a little bit of faith in Corbin here. And I think Tannehill's great. 9 seems like a high number. I've got a nice stat on Boston here. They are 17-5 when they've scored 4 or more runs. So if Boston can put 4 up tomorrow, that should be enough to get it done. I do like Boston, but I'm happier with a under 9, Dylan.
Yeah, you know, I was able to grab the opening total of an 8. I took that over. I made my total 9.3. It was only on the board. Like we were talking before we went live. It was only on the board for an hour. Then it jumped to 8.5. It's at 9 now. It might go up even more. I still like the over. Like I said, the Nationals, they've been playing some good baseball. 6-4 their last 10. Playing a lot of overs as well for the last 5 games. Have gone over the total. They're averaging around 6.5 runs per game this past week. I thought it was going to be Josh Winkowski. I didn't know it was going to be Tanner Houck, but regardless, they do hit righties pretty well. And, you know, I think for the Red Sox going up against Patrick Corbin, who on the road, he's allowed 4+ runs in every start on the road. This could be a good start for them, you know, to find their groove offensively at home for the Red Sox. So I'm going to be on the opposite side. I think we'll see some runs in this game. So I'm going to be on the over.
Trev rightly pointing out, and I did have this down in my notes, that the Red Sox aren't great against lefties. They're only hitting .235 against lefties. So that was part of the reason I factored that in when I took my under. 7:10 Eastern first pitch, the Philadelphia Phillies and the Miami Marlins. This was an ugly one to handicap. Ranger Suarez going for the Phillies and Trevor Rogers for Miami. 2 lefties on the hill here. -182 Philly, +140 Miami, with a total of 8. I've got another nice stat here, Dylan.
I thought it was Taiwan Walker. No?
I will refresh, but I'm still seeing
Rangers. You're right. I don't know what the fuck right. I'm seeing, bro.
Come on, Dylan. Concentrate, son. Long season. Yeah. Dylan in mid-season form. I'll hit you with this stat, Dylan. This will get you going. Miami have scored 3 or fewer in 22 of their 39 games and are 1-21 in those 22 games. So when they score 3 runs or fewer, they are 1-21. Bosh. I don't know what you're supposed to do with that. It's just a fun fact, isn't it? Suarez has been staggeringly good. 6-0 with a 1.72 ERA. You'd think that was quite impressive enough until you whittle that down to his away record, which is 1.29 ERA in his 3 road starts. So it's even better. They have won his last 6 starts. I love this. Philly have won Suarez's last 6 starts by an aggregate of 33 runs. Miami have lost Rogers' last 6 starts by an aggregate of 37 runs. That's a 70-run run differential, Dylan, in 6 games between these 2 teams. At this point, it's Philly run line, alt line. Do what you want with it. It's a madness, but it's not big or clever. I tell you what, it's not a bad price. So -182 to win. I did catch a little cold on this when the Blue Jays beat them last night, but that's not going to happen very often. Philly run line's a really attractive price.
Yeah, Philly, it's going to be another total for me, though. I like the over 7.5. I made my total 8.4 here. Phillies, besides the Twins, they might be the other hottest team in baseball right now. They've really turned it around offensively. They're averaging around 7.6 runs per game this past week. And because of how bad the Marlins have been defensively and with their pitching, they've been involved in a lot of overs, 7-3 towards the over in their last 10, including 4 of their last 5. Trevor Rogers on the mound for the Fish. And I just think we could see a shootout. He couldn't get past the second inning in his last start. He gave up 8 runs to the Athletics, who have kind of regressed here. I think this game flies over the total. I agree with the Phillies on the run line. I do think they'll rout them, but I like the over as well.
I don't know if you saw the Luis Arraez trade last week. Obviously, went across to San Diego from Miami. But one of the prospects who was traded back in the other direction was stood on second base for the San Diego minor league team batting. So I don't know if he singled and stole or walked and stole or he'd hit a double. But he was stood on second when the trade went through. And this just seems insane to me. I just let him run the bases or get out. But they pull him out the game there and then. It's like in the third inning. So they're waving him off the field. He stood there like, sorry, why? This isn't like a pinch run situation or something. And he's not even allowed to stay in the dugout. He gets back.
Yeah,
that's you. See you later. And he just needs to go. Absolutely baffling things. Like, I can't remember his name. Matabueni or Matatundi or something. But yeah, literally pulled off second base in the middle of the game and off to Miami for his sins, unfortunately. 7:40 Eastern first pitch is the Cleveland Guardians at the Chicago White Sox. Carlos Carrasco for Cleveland, left-handed pitcher Garrett Crochet for the Chicago White Sox, who are +110 home puppy, Cleveland -138, total sits at 8, Dylan.
Yeah, I took the Guardians here a little earlier in the day. I got a -134. I made them a -150 favorite here on the road. I even thought that was kind of low, -150. I get that, you know, Cookie Carrasco, he hasn't been the best on the road, but it's just been one poor start against the Astros. I think it's kind of inflated the numbers. After that, he bounced back nicely against the Angels. He only gave up 1 run in 6 innings after that. So, you know, it's still fade the White Sox at the end of the day. They also match up well against the lefty. Not a fan of Garrett Crochet either. The Guardians, much better team. Dang, oh, -134. Even if it's on the road, it just doesn't seem right. It might be a trap, but I'm going to take the better team here. I'll take the Guardians -134.
Maurizio Dubon has just forgot to catch the ball there in center field. I'm not sure about this, actually. I nearly took the White Sox first 5, and then I gave my head a little wobble, and I've made another pick. But Carrasco, you look at his ERA, is 5.67. You think, well, that's bad. And then you think in his last 5, it's 6.04. You think, oh, it's getting worse. On the road, it's 7.13. So the more you look at stuff, the higher it gets. You're trying to bring it down when you're handicapping. It keeps going up and up and up. Crochet started really well. Fell off, and then he was back his last 2, pitched 11 innings, only gave up 3 earned runs, and he had a 13-1 strikeout to walk rate in those last 2 against the Cardinals and the Twins. So, I mean, similar kind of levels of opposition, not the Cards, they're shit. But the Twins and Cleveland were central rivals. Cleveland are hitting lefties well, I'll give him that. But 5-5 in the last 10. They're missing Stephen Kwan. They're kind of bits and bobs player. And the White Sox are 4-6 in the last 10, so there's not an awful lot in it. But I did steer away from that White Sox. But I just think there's runs in this. Like I say, Cleveland can hit the lefty. Everyone can hit Carrasco. And the White Sox can occasionally put up 3 or 4. That might be enough here to get us over. I'll take the over 8. It was just half a run on the right side for me in the Guardians at the White Sox. 8:10 Eastern first pitch. I believe this game's entirely off the board. I've had pitchers all day, but both are officially TBD here. It's the St. Louis Cardinals at the Milwaukee Brewers. Maybe TVDBJ can give us a bit of a steer. I have got Lance Lynn and Freddy Peralta.
Yeah, I didn't have that. I had Robert Gasser and Lance Lynn, so... Who the hell?
Right, okay. So I've seen no odds. I mean, I've got a line that says I prefer Peralta. I prefer home Peralta. I prefer the Brewers. I don't like Lynn. So I was just ticking boxes for the Brewers. But without singing Eddie Odds, that's about as far as I can go with that one, Dylan. Anything else?
Yeah.
Oh, so TV DBG is telling us Robert Gass everything.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, I thought it was going to be Robert Gasser. I probably would face. I do like Freddie Peralta at home. In general, I do think the Brewers are the better team. Both teams kind of struggling though right now. Four of the last five for the Cardinals, they've lost. They don't play well on the road. Yeah, he just, TVJ just said that he got called up, so I probably would take Gasser at home. You know, against a bad St. Louis team where they don't play well on the road. I probably would take the Brewers here if Gasser is going to start. Depending on the number, though, I can't be laying, like, I don't know, like anything under a minus 140, I think would be a fair play.
Right, okay. So I've just, this is good. I've just searched Robert Gasser in my little stat base that I use here. And what I can tell you about Robert Gasser, Dylan, is that he had no sacks and 14 interceptions between 1989 and 1997. So what do you think of that?
I mean, he was a stud.
Yeah. It's what it's done is it's changed Robert Gasser to Robert Massey. He did play for your Giants. Did you know this?
Oh, don't disrespect me. I'm a Jet fan.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
Yeah, no, don't. That's like, oh, my God.
Oh, I knew I didn't know that as well. Sorry. Yes.
This is going off the rails.
So 14 interceptions, and he's going to throw a shutout tomorrow. For the Brewers, a man of many talents. 8:40 Eastern first pitch, Texas Rangers at the Colorado Rockies. This is another one that's a little bit of a mess because Dane Dunning was scheduled to start for Texas, but he's off to the IL with a torn rotator cuff. So that's left the Rangers rotation in a state of flux going into this series. Austin Gomber, left-handed pitcher, is confirmed for the Rockies. I've got some lines on it, so maybe there's a whiff of a pitcher somewhere. Minus 200 for Texas, plus 150 for Colorado, and a total of 10. Do you know much about this, Dylan?
No, not much at all, if I'm being honest. I didn't even see Austin Gomber going, but I'm not in the business of backing Austin Gomber, especially at home. He hasn't looked good. I know he had a decent start, actually, in his last start against the Pirates on the road. But outside of that, they've lost five straight of his games. Colorado, they lost again. Did they win today or did they lose? They won?
Colorado won.
Yeah, hey, they won. They snapped a losing streak. Yeah, okay. But still probably not in the business of backing Austin Gomber and the Colorado Rockies here. So depending on who goes, I don't really want to be
I think I've cracked it, Dylan. It looks like John Gray. John Gray is going to go for the Rangers. John Gray has been top quality lately. He's 1-1, but has a 2.50 ERA. Last five starts, 1.65 ERA, 15 innings over his last two, so great length as well. Only given up 4 earned runs in his last 3 starts. Looks pretty hard to pick apart at this point, especially with Gomber going for the Rockies, Dylan.
Yeah, 100%. Definitely would take if it's John Gray, the way he's been pitching, I mean, great start in his last start against the Kansas City Royals. I think he's been pretty well, and the bats have kind of woken up for the Texas Rangers. What, they scored 12 runs the other day against the Athletics. They also scored 15 runs. So bats have been picked up a little bit here for Texas. So I would take them, depending on the price, though.
I actually don't mind an under here because Gomber's ERA is 3.79, which is kind of playable. And Texas are only hitting 2.31 against lefties. Texas had that wild doubleheader yesterday against Oakland where both – it was about 1,000 runs scored over the two games. But yeah, if John Gray, like I say, I've got no problem with. So if Gomber's not absolutely terrible, say that there was 10 runs in that game today, something similar, and maybe we can get a little under 10.5, and I would lean towards that. 9:38 Eastern first pitch is the Kansas City Royals and the LA Angels. We have Alec Marsh. I'm going for Kansas City. and Griffin Canning will go for the Angels. This is a match on the books. It is minus 110 each of two, with a total set at 8.5. This is one of my favourite plays, and it's going to be on the Royals here, just on the money line. Alec Marsh has been great. He's had a little spell on the IL. I think he had 3 starts before he went. He was great before he went away. 3-0, 2.70 ERA. Did see at the top of the season I was in on Marsh, and he's been really good. He's had 2 scoreless starts against the Blue Jays and the Orioles. You'd probably get 15 outs maximum, I would have said, out of Marsh here. But Kansas City have won all 5 of his starts. Griffin Canning was starting to get a little bit bored of. He's inconsistent. He's being expensive to follow. He gives up sort of 3 or 4 earned runs every start. He walked 5 batters 2 starts ago. And he does need a lot of run support to win a game. It's just kind of all kinds of different things that Griffin Canning can do to you. I handicapped this game before I'd seen the prices, and I was hoping KC would be a backable price here. Behind Marsh. And in a match, the Royals are better than the Angels. I don't think that's in doubt. And I got no problem with Marsh at all. Marsh over Canning, the Royals over the Angels. Minus 110, I'll take Kansas City, Dylan. Can't hear you, Dill. Have you gone quiet? Ooh, you're on mute, son.
Ooh, sorry. First time this season. Yeah, but I'm on the same side as with you. Royals minus 108 on the money line. I think the only reason... Oh, I made my number minus 110. I think the only reason my numbers came out this low is because Marsh did miss his last 2 starts because of the elbow injury. But until that point, like you said, he's been dealing. The Royals, you know, they've won every game he started, only giving up 1 home run this year. Doesn't give up the long ball. Doesn't strike out a ton of batters, but he does give you good length. And the Halos aren't the best hitting team against righties as well. So, you know, Royals should get to Canning. And as if he's able to get 3+ runs given up at home, Griffin Canning, I think this could be a blowout. Don't understand the line. So I'm going to take the Royals like you on the money line. Another Apple TV game.
Oh, another one. Why are they putting that on? It's not a big game. This Houston Yankees game I'm watching, the number 5 hitter for Houston, Singleton. Is his name John Singleton? Mm-hmm. I don't think he's very good. My only observation on that. I'm not sure what he's doing in the middle of the lineup. 9:40 Eastern, who just struck out as well. I'm right. What a good judge. 9:40 Eastern first pitch, the LA Dodgers at the San Diego Padres. We have Tyler Glasnow going for the Dodgers, and Michael King draws the start for San Diego. Plus 138, home underdogs are the Friars. The Dodgers are minus 175, total set at 8, Dylan.
Yeah, another total for me. Give me the under 8, minus 115. I only made my total 7.7. Honestly, just based on how good Tyler Glasnow has been this year, I think the game could go under just by that. You know, maybe Padres team total under. If we could get a 3.5, I would take the under. You know, Glasnow, he's only allowed 1 run on the road this season. 3+ runs just 1 time. He's been incredible. In his first start against the Padres, he was lights out. The game went under. Final score 5-2. I'm not talking through it. I probably do like the Padres team total under a little more than the full game under. So hopefully we get a 3.5. I would gladly take that under. Glasnow has been dealing. Dodgers should win this game, but I'd rather attack the Padres. So Padres team total under for me would be the play here.
Yeah, it's really hard to argue with Glasnow's with a 6-1 record and a 2.70 ERA. His last 5 starts, Dylan, he's got a 2.45 ERA. He struck out 48 batters in 5 starts. So the bookies are probably wise to a K prop, but if you can find a little one, have a go. The Dodgers have covered the handicap in 4 of those last five wins for Glasnow as well. King had a nice start last time out at the Diamondbacks, where he threw 6 scoreless, because he'd been struggling a little bit before that. Did face the Dodgers on April the 12th. He gave up 4 home runs that day. So a combination of factors. Even if this is a low-scoring game, Dylan, which I think you kind of allude that it might be, I like the Dodgers on the run line. So they might not put up 10 runs, but they might come away with this, a 4 or 5-1 win, something like that. So rather than a Dodgers team total, it's funny looking at the different angles in, because you've gone Padres under. I didn't want to take the Dodgers to go berserk, but I do think they'll end up three or four runs better than them over the course of the nine innings. So Dodgers on the run line. And that'll be a relatively decent price as well for me in that one. The penultimate game on the show is a 9:40 Eastern first pitch between the Oakland Athletics and the Seattle Mariners. Just before we started recording, Dylan, you alerted me to this pitching change. And we were both quite confident that it was going to be Bryce Miller for Seattle. And I'm here to tell you that it's Brian Wu, which is the pitcher that you said you thought it might be. So this is one of the a situation where Brian Wu is going to be activated from the IL. It's going to be Paul Blackburn for Oakland. We like Paul Blackburn, did. Brian Wu for Seattle, -130 the Mariners, +110 Oakland. Total is set at 7.5, Dylan. I mean, Brian Wu, high hopes coming into the season. Bit of a delayed start, but what are we expecting tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't know. My whole handicap was on Bryce Miller. That's why I made him a -190 favorite. Here with Brandon Wu, my numbers are definitely going to change. Yeah, I mean, I honestly just can't believe how bad Logan Gilbert looked today. I was telling you earlier, you know, but coming back home, they were on the road. Coming back to Seattle, where they do play better, I think this could be a nice bounce back spot for them. A's have been struggling. I mentioned it a little earlier in the show, 1-4 in their last five. And I know everyone loves Paul Blackburn Day, but his past two starts on the road haven't been the best. He's given up much more contact, 4+ hits in 5 straight games. While the Mariners wrote, besides this one start, I feel like the pitching rotation and the bullpen has been really solid for the Mariners. I'm hoping the bats could wake up for them. They didn't show up today, only one run. But I got to go back and look at my numbers. But we'll see. Depending on the numbers, we'll see if I get there with the Mariners. But I don't think I'm going to be there with Paul Blackburn.
Yeah, there's a couple of things here. We'll start with Paul Blackburn then, because you were talking about him. It's his rodeo, eh? We love Paul Blackburn Day on the show, but at home, I think, and a 5.63 road ERA. I've been burned a couple of times by just kind of lazily taking him when I say his name, but it's got to be a certain spot at home, I think. Brian Wu, just looking at the back end of last year, finished the season with a 4.21 ERA, which was fine, but really it was a couple of shocking starts that really inflated his numbers. His August ERA was 1.69. And then in September, he had 3 starts where he gave up no runs, but in the other two, he gave up 6 and 5. So I do like Brian Wu. I think he's got to be vulnerable. Pitchers are always vulnerable on the first start. We normally factor that in all the time. The chat, Trev, pointing out that Oakland's raking off right-handed pitchers. Oakland aren't going to dink and dunk their way around the bases here. They're either going bridge or they're not going anywhere. So they'll have a right good go at this tomorrow. I think the 7.5 is way too low. Oakland will score some runs. Trev likes an A's team total. And Blackburn away from home. It'll also give some a great play. Over 7.5 is a really nice play in this. I absolutely love it. Finally, 10:15 Eastern, first pitch, the Cincinnati Reds at the San Francisco Giants. Andrew Abbott, left-handed pitcher for the Reds, and Logan Webb for the Giants, who are -163, Cincinnati +125, and the total here, it's 7.5. Dylan, Logan Webb, I think I've jinxed him because I kind of said he was under the radar, one of the best pitchers in MLB, and talked him up quite a lot recently. And then it hasn't gone well for him. So, I mean, are we expecting to get back to normal tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, I would take the Giants here. It's a little chalky. I got it at a -155. I made him a -160 favorite. Now, Logan Webb, pitching at home versus pitching on the road is night and day. I don't think he's that backable on the road, especially at a big favorite. But at home, I think we could back him. He's been absolutely spectacular at home this season. Just 2 runs given up in 22 innings. He's 2-0 with a .82 ERA. Batters are only hitting .225 off of him. Now he's getting to face a struggling Rays team who, I don't know what's going on with them, but they're just struggling mightily. 2-8 in their last 10. They've only scored 7 runs in their past 5 games. Can't get it going offensively. Now, I get the Giants haven't been playing the best baseball either, but at home, they're a much better ball club. I trust the bats way more than I do the Reds, who, let's face it, they just can't buy a win right now. So, you know, it's like the saying says, sometimes the juice is worth the squeeze. I'll take the Giants here. It's a little chalky, but I'll take them on the money line.
Anthony Volpe, 2-run bomb in
hey,
the Bronx.
That's what we need.
Yeah, we just talked him in. Yeah, so there's a couple of trains of thought here, a couple of ways you could think about Webb, which is either you just take the home road splits at face value, because those last 2 starts, he's given up 8 earned runs and only 7 2/3. Or is there maybe something wrong with him? Because they have been short starts. You look at his game log before that. I mean, he's normally good for 21 outs at a bare minimum. Like, even the road start before that at Tampa Bay, he went 7 innings. So if he runs into another bad one tomorrow, is he feeling something? I don't know. But you can't argue with the road figures. Played the Mets 1-5-1, played the Diamondbacks 1-5-0. This does look like that kind of game. Because I don't really mind Abbott. He's been involved in some low-scoring games too. So I don't often take an under on a 7.5. It makes my teeth itch a little bit. It makes me nervous. But I think I'm all right to do it here. Because like I say, I watched the Reds' offense tonight. Didn't really blow my skirt up particularly. The Giants are bang average. And if Webb and Abbott can go as we think, this could very easily be a low-scoring game. So I'll take the under 7.5 in the Reds at the Giants. And Dylan, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that is 15 games in the book. Lock and dog, D-Rock, what you got?
All right, we will start with the dog. And I wanted to take my Mets, but I have a feeling I think that's where you're going to go. So I will go with the first game.
Yet, mate.
All right, I'll go with the first game on the board. I'll give me the Tigers, plus 115 at home with Casey Mize. I just think, you know, I'm still in fade mode with the Astros. Let's not overreact. I still think they might lose this game against the Yankees here. And I don't think Valdez has looked all that good. He has only had 1 solid start back early April against the Blue Jays. They're still struggling. Tigers, they've regressed as well. But at home, I do think they're the better team. So I'm going to take the Tigers here as a home puppy, plus 115. As my lock, I was going to take the Orioles. I like them on the money line, but I think, you know, you convinced me as well. I'm going to take the Royals here at home with Alex Marsh. I just think they're the much better team. Going to fade Griffin Canning and the Angels. He's given up 3+ runs in every start at home. So bad spot here for the Angels. Short price for the Royals. They're the much better team. Give me the Royals as my lock.
Okay, I'm going to take a really boring look, but I don't care when it settles and the money appears in my balance. Philly on the run line, Suarez against Rodgers. That those numbers that I dug out, that the Phillies have won his last 6 starts by 33 and the Marlins have lost Rodgers' last 6 starts by 37. That'll do me. Absolutely delighted. And for the dog, I haven't got too many without getting creative and taking silly run lines. So I'm going to, yeah, go on. I'll take the Mets, Dylan. You let me have it, so I will. I'll accept that. The Mets at plus 132. Quintana's been good at home. Atlanta, not brilliant on the road. Morton's been okay. But yeah, the Mets alive, yeah. Plus 132. I will take New York. And I think, Dylan, we did it. Is there anything else you want to tell the people about before we let them go?
No, big win for the Knicks last night. We're 2 games away from the Eastern Conference Finals, so basketball's in full effect.
What's the score? Best of 7, is it?
Yeah, best of 7. It's the Eastern Conference semifinals. We're playing the Indiana Pacers. We're up 2-0 going to Indiana, but, you know, we're hurting with some injuries. What's the play for the final, June 1st? Are we going Real Madrid or are we going Bridge de Dormit?
Real Madrid.
I need a winner.
Madrid are like a cockroach. They just won't die. They should have died about six times recently. And they won't. They just scurry off under the floorboards and you think they've gone. And then they come back with a late goal or something horrible like that. They just incredible. Do you know, if you saw the game last night, Hossolu, who scored the two Madrid goals, came off the bench and scored two goals for Madrid. He used to play for Newcastle and he was absolutely shit. He was terrible. He was never a footballer. Honestly, he couldn't hit a cow's arse with a banjo. And then we're watching the TV last night and he scored. He come out of nowhere. He scores two goals in a Champions League semi-final. Completely baffling. So everyone would be rooting for Dortmund. Dortmund are quite a popular team, I think. And Madrid are a little bit sort of the cynical, big Galacticos. So I'll be rooting for Dortmund, but Madrid, just you can't kill them off. Something terrible will happen and they'll win in the last minute or something.
I'm trying to look at it right now. I was trying to see what the line would be for the game. When is it? June 1st, right?
I've no idea, but I could probably find you a line.
So -170 for Real Madrid, +425 for Borussia Dortmund, over unders at 2.5. What do you like, real quick? Extra play.
Madrid with the under.
Parlay it. I like
Parlay Madrid in the under. You put me on the spot there. I need to do 5 weeks home. There you go.
Thank you.
Thanks, mate. That was loads of fun. Thanks. The chat was buzzing. Well done, Trev. Trev's one-man show kept us going there. Like, rate, review. Leave us some reviews. We haven't had any for ages. Don't mention my accent because that's boring.
And no passive-aggressive.
Nice, no passive-aggressive. We've had quite a few on the... I told that story on the Premier League show and quite a lot of people have started leaving reviews now and saying these people are definitely not passive-aggressive, which I think is making Sean and Ryan even more suspicious. But there you go. Someone's back tomorrow night for a Friday night show. Good luck with all your picks. And until next time, we will see you down the road. Cheers.